Chapter 4.
Philippians chapter 4. So here's a question that I already know the answer to. Have you ever been discouraged? Have you ever been discouraged over something, certain things that were in your life? And man, you had a tough day at work. It was hard. The sun was out. You're hot. You're tired. You're hungry. And you come home and you don't feel like saying anything. You don't feel like 10 kids jumping all over you. You don't feel like, you know, what are we going to do tonight? We've got all kinds of projects, Dad, for you. Men, do you ever feel under the burden just of all the pressures that you may face with just the issues of life that we go through? And sometimes you come home and you're there and you're struggling. Ladies, do you ever feel discouraged because there are things in your family that you're struggling with? Things that aren't going right with certain relationships that you're going through. Things in your health that aren't moving as fast as you wish they would. Things that are going on at church and the different ministries that you face. Some of these overlap, male and female, but some of us get discouraged, don't we, from time to time. And then we get that, if I could say it not sarcastically, but we get that superhero spiritual Christian that shows up and says, well, God says to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord, you know, and we're supposed to be happy, you know. And when we hear that right away, we feel like, you don't know what's going on. You don't understand. You know, it can be very difficult. We know the truth, don't we? And the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 4, and we'll be looking at verse 4, a very familiar verse, but God tells us, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say, rejoice. We all know that verse. We know that we're supposed to rejoice. But when we get into our circumstances, we have a difficult time doing that. And I want you to think about the circumstances that I'm talking about in your life. Everyone's different, male and female. Different age brackets of people. Some of you are, you know, in school and you're telling me, Pastor, to rejoice in my schoolwork. You're telling me to rejoice with all that my parents have for me to do. Maybe as a young adult, you're saying, I'm supposed to rejoice and I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know who I'm doing it with and I don't know where I'm going. And you're struggling with that. And then there's some of you that you're in the thick of life and you're raising children, you're working, and of course, then you say, you know, you don't even know how you're going to make it through your day. And the thought of rejoicing is the last thing on your mind. And then we have some of the older people that are in the room, and maybe work isn't the thing, but there are the pressures of life, the things of your family, your younger family, your children, your grandchildren. There's things with your health. There's things with future finances. And it's very difficult to take Philippians 4:4 and to easily do what it says to do, to rejoice. You know, when you get into a difficult situation, it's very difficult to rejoice. I remember different times in my life, but it was hard to rejoice. You know, somebody could have easily come up to me and quoted Philippians 4:4 and said, Sean, you just need to rejoice. And it would have been very difficult for me to do that. I've mentioned to you about my family and my parents and even my upbringing, and then also the very difficult thing that happened to me in my life when I was in college. Just the Lord, it was a process, the Lord breaking me and getting me prepared for Him. And I remember that day. Again, I'm not going to go through the whole story because you know the story, or at least most of you know the story, just of how, you know, I certainly was following my life, my things, what I wanted to do, and you know, in sports, in athletics, and all those things after myself. And the Lord had to break me down physically to get me to that point. And He did, and He did, and He did many times to get me to that point. And I can tell you that that to walk up to me and tell me that I was supposed to rejoice was another thing. And it was very devastating. I still remember, you know, in that second year that I went back to school and got hurt that second time in that game, and just to see what God was doing. I can tell you, I was not rejoicing. I was not happy, and God wasn't good. I knew He was, but I didn't feel it, and I didn't understand His goodness at that point in time. And, you know, for somebody to step up to the plate and just read Philippians 4:4 would be a difficult thing. You know, it's like, well, you rejoice. You know, you don't understand what's going on. Do you ever feel that way? That, you know, don't tell me to rejoice. But this morning, I'm not being smart aleck, and I'm not trying to, but I am going to give God's word to you and say, I don't know what you're going through, but God's word very simply tells us, you need to rejoice. You need to rejoice. Let's look at this verse. You know, joy, rejoicing, is a key word in Philippians. Did you know that? In the book of Philippians, it is a key in this book. He says it so many times that we're supposed to be joyful or to rejoice. All of Scripture tells us many times we're supposed to rejoice. You know, the word rejoice is mentioned 267 times in the Scriptures, 197 times the word joy or a form of joyful is used. And so you add those up, you have your word rejoice, and you've got the word joy or joyful, and you add those up, and we're talking, you know, 465 times or so in the Scriptures, and that is a lot, besides words like and I and things like that. For a key word like this, that's a lot of times to see a word. The question is, does God want us to rejoice? And we know the answer is yes. And so we definitely know that it's a theme in Scripture. I want us to look and analyze this verse just a little bit. What's the context of Philippians 4 and verse 4? To tell you the truth, there's not a ton of context that is given. You say, why did Paul tell them to rejoice? And the fact of the matter is we don't really know why he was saying this. Because in chapter 4 of Philippians, he really is given the how to walk the walk. He's going through just, here's what I want you to do in life, do this. Obviously, if he's telling these people to rejoice, obviously they needed that reminding. I mean, again, you go to Philippians chapter 1 and you're going to start to read about you need to rejoice. And he tells them over and over, and I can't remember how many times, 10, 15 times, in the book of Philippians, he continues to go back to this idea of you need to rejoice. As you walk through life, you need to be joyful. You need to rejoice. You need to be joyful. And so this is where he's at. He is introducing instructions for everyday life in chapter 4. And that's very practical for us. We're talking about everyday life, the things that you go through. I want you to think about your life. Go through. I know Sundays are, you know, we do them one time a week. But think about Monday through Friday. Even think about tomorrow. What are the things that you're going to go through, in which you are going to have to remind yourself, or let the Scriptures remind you, to be joyful. To be joyful. Some of you have aches and pains. And it's hard to be joyful when you're not feeling well, isn't it? You're not feeling well, and I'm supposed to be joyful. And there are many of you in the room this morning that your aches and your pains, your sicknesses, the things you go through, they're one of those things that is saying, how do I rejoice in this that I'm going through? Again, many of you are going through social things that it's painful. You're going through a painful process right now of somebody that's denying you, saying no to you, they've walked away, or maybe you're just grieved over somebody not walking with the Lord, living a life that you know is not right, and it is grieving you. And you say, how can I be joyful in this circumstance, in this situation? Some of you, it's financial difficulties, and you're saying, how, you know, I don't even know how I'm going to make it, and your pastor telling me that I'm supposed to rejoice this morning. And again, I could go on and on. Everyone is different in this room. Everybody's got different circumstances. And again, Paul is meaning the everyday life. And if I could say, God is writing to you back when Paul is writing to these Philippian people. So take it that way this morning. Take it this way. God means to give you a message this morning of how you can go through your life circumstances, your everyday circumstances, the things that you might not mention to anybody else, just the mundane things in life that struggle you, that you say, how can I rejoice in this? Well, let's look at this verse. Philippians 4:4. Again, he's going to give a list of things that they need to do. And again, they're not random. They're not just haphazard. But we could look and say, you know, where does this fit in? Well, I don't really know where rejoice fits in. I was reading a little bit and Spurgeon made comments. He said, you know, whatever the case is, obviously they were tempted to not rejoice. We don't know what, but they needed to be reminded. You need to rejoice. Sir, ma'am, a young person, you need to choose to rejoice no matter what you're going through. You're discouraged, you're struggling, you need to rejoice. So we get into this verse. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Let's look at this first word, rejoice. What does it mean to rejoice? And I will say this as opposed to being happy. Notice he doesn't say be happy. Let me ask you the question, what's the difference between rejoicing or joy and happiness? Can the world receive some sort of level of happiness in life? Some sort of happiness, right? We can all be happy with anything. I mean, we've seen unhappy people that aren't believers. We can get happy over really anything. We can get a smile on our face over anything that takes place. You turn on the television and watch the garbage that's on there, and anybody can get a smile because something's funny. But that's different than being joyful. What's the difference between being happy and being joyful? And I'm going to go ahead, I normally don't do this on a Sunday morning, but I'm going to open it up a little bit. Tell me, what's the difference between just a very simplistic happiness that might bring a smile to our face about a circumstance in life and what true joy is? Anybody want to venture out? You're probably not going to be wrong. You'll probably be right. But just want to hear from you, Pat.
Happiness is based on circumstances. Joy is what you feel regardless of your circumstances.
That's good. I think Pat really did a good job on that one. Skip. It's sustained longer, right? And I think what we're looking at is there's a sustained because of the source of it. You know, coming back to a little bit of what Pat was saying, those are good things, and we could talk a whole lot more about them, but I'm going to still ask any more things to add to this. If you were going to say the same thing, you probably don't need to say it again, but if you have something to add to this, any other thoughts, joy and happiness, Rodney?
Our attitude.
Our outlook on these circumstances, which make a difference of happiness and joy. Okay, that's good. Yes, sir.
In the verse, it's given as a command or a verb, and not just an adjective.
Okay, so it's not just describing something; it's telling us, "Do this." Okay, we're going to get to that command. Yes. Any other thoughts? We'll jump right into this. Anything else that comes to your mind? The difference of joy and happiness.
I think joy has an element of contentment and peace along with it too, where happiness doesn't really have that.
Yeah, it doesn't. You know, there's just this inward, I think combine it all, you know. I mean, you've got this, and why you have that is because there's a source where this is coming that brings that peace and contentment, and you can rest. And I think we already answered this. Can you have joy in tough times? And I'm not saying you can have happiness a little bit, but it's a different kind of a thing. I think you guys did a great job with that, and there's more that could be said. But, you know, we get to this word. Logan mentioned that it is something that is commanded here. It is. The word is, it's a command in this verse. He doesn't give us the option. I want you to think about that. That one right there already preaches at me. Joy, or to be joyful, is not an option. Now, anything's an option because God did not make us robots, right? He doesn't force us to do anything. He allows us to make a choice. Okay? He allows us to make a choice, but God does not present it to us as a choice. He doesn't say, hey, Christian, you can choose whatever you want and I'll back that. He doesn't say you can rejoice or you can choose to not rejoice. That's up to you. Is that what he's saying here? Not at all. We don't have the choice, although I think, are you understanding what I mean? We do have the choice. I mean, we can choose. Any one of us can choose not to rejoice, right? He doesn't make us to be joyful. We do have a choice, but it's not an acceptable choice not to. He's commanding us here, I want you to make the choice. And you see the title of my message. It was a long, long time ago that a young evangelist actually came through and preached a message, and it was entitled, The Choice to Rejoice. And I don't even remember the message, but I do remember the title, and I used and then borrowed that title. I didn't call him up and ask him, but I borrowed that title because that is one of the things I want you to see, and I think that God wants us to see in this verse, that rejoicing is not a choice. I don't have the liberty to decide not to, but I am going to have to make a decision that I need to. I've got to make a choice. I've got to make a decision because it is not based upon my circumstances. As it was already mentioned, there are circumstances that come up in life that are very difficult to go through. And I could ask you what those are. I'm not going to, but as I look around, I know some of you, I don't know all of your struggles and your problems and the things that cause you grief in life. I don't know. But I know there are temptations, there are things out there kind of like what was going on in the church at Philippi that we don't know. But Paul says, you know, you're going to have to make a choice in your circumstance that you are going to need to rejoice. And again, I come back, in your financial lack, there are some out here today, maybe you say, financially, we're barely making it. I don't know how I'm going to pay this bill. I don't know how I'm going to survive. How am I going to do this? I can tell you, I don't know how God is going to answer. I don't know what God is wanting to do. But he says that when you're going through it, you need to choose to rejoice. It's not an option. He says, rejoice. This is a command. We're commanded to rejoice. You have a choice. You, Christian, need to make a choice to rejoice. Yes, I know, child, you don't have the money that you feel like you need to do this, but you simply rejoice. I want you to rejoice in my ability and what I have and who I am, that I can take care of your circumstance. And that I'm doing it for a perfect good in your life and for me to get glory. God says that. You who are out here this morning and there are social issues. I mean, when I say social, I'm talking about from people to people. There are relationships. Some of you have neighbors that you're very burdened about, that you're struggling with, and maybe you're at odds with. That it's a difficult thing for you to face. And can I tell you that in it, it's miserable for you, but God says to rejoice. It's commanded. Some of you that are having family social issues, there's turmoil inside, husband and wife issues. There are, a pastor messaged me this morning and wanted prayer because he's going through some things in the church. There's some marital issues going on, and that's tough. That is very tough. It's tough for that couple. It's tough for that pastor, and they're going through that. And yet in that situation, there's going to be issues with parents and children. Parents and adult children. There's going to be parents and you know, there's grown adults. There could even be grandparent issues with grandchildren, and there's things. And we got coworkers. And that can be tough, right? Situations that you face at work and you're like, I'm tired of this. This guy continues to, she continues to, whatever the cases are. And God tells us to make the choice to rejoice. Now it's a command. Now here's what I want you to see with this. When God commands us to do something, he is simply asking us to, as we heard last week from our missionary, and as I have expressed a little bit in discipleship, it's the idea of follow me. Follow me. Now, when we follow Christ, who is the object, or what is the object of our following? Go ahead. Jesus Christ, to be like Christ. Yes, Jesus is the object, right? When we're following something or someone, we've got our eyes on. I mean, that's the object right there. I mean, that only makes sense. You can't follow somebody blindly. There's nothing out there. You can't follow nothing, right? There's got to be something that you're following. And in this case, follow me. Jesus is speaking to the disciples and he says, I want you to follow me, keeping your eyes and focused on Jesus. You go through this circumstance, this situation, following me. Now, when you follow, do you have to trust? Yes. Are there things that you can't see? Yes. Are there things that you don't know? Yes, there's all kinds of... But following takes faith, doesn't it? It takes trust. It takes commitment. I'm going to have to keep following. Even when it goes a path that I'm saying, where are we going? Have you ever been following somebody and you questioned it during the trip? You say, does this person know where they're going? You ever done that? You've been following, maybe in a car, and you're going round and round. And you're like, what's going on here? Or you're on a trail and you're like, I've seen that rock before today. I've seen that tree twice in this trip. You know, and it's, you know, you're trying to decide if this was deja vu or this was something that I really did see. And you're going around and you're saying, wait a second, why are we doing this? I have an easier way to get there. I've got a better way to get there. And then we start to question. When we follow, there's commitment, isn't there? There's trust. You know, even when the pathway is going like this and up and down, and you're thinking, what are we doing? And he says, Jesus says, follow me. So there's an object that we're following. I want this very simply to be put out to you that when God tells us in Philippians 4:4 that we're supposed to rejoice in the Lord, folks, can I tell you that the idea that is a command is telling us this is a way that he wants us to follow him. And the opposite is true. Please get this. When you are under the burden of your circumstances, whether it's social, financial, physical. We haven't talked a lot about the physical. I know that some of you are under physical burden. You say, Pastor, truth be told, I don't feel well. I'm sick. I hurt. I struggle. I don't know what's going on with this. I've been to the doctor and they don't know, or I haven't been to the doctor and I don't want to go to the doctor, but I don't feel well. Whatever the case is, you know, that is hard to wake up every day and go to bed and think, you know, what is going on in my body? And you go through that and you're hoping, and there's an element of fear that comes in because you say, will I know? Is this going to continue to go on? Will this bring me down? Will this, what, you know, we have all those things. We've got the social, we've got the financial, we've got the physical and the health. We have the spiritual things that we're struggling with, and we're going through the things in life and they're very difficult for us. We have the difficult demands of our jobs, the difficult demands of our ministries, the difficult demands that we face emotionally. We go through difficult things, and God says here, you have a choice. Even though it's a command, you need to choose to rejoice. No matter what he's saying is I want you, in that it's a command, I want you to follow me. And if you choose not to follow me, if you choose to go through your circumstance and not rejoice, if you choose to face it on your own, and you choose to say, well, I know what Pastor said this week, but I have reason not to rejoice. And when you choose to make that choice not to rejoice, then you're not following him. You know, we're faced with a lot of big decisions in our lives. From young to older, we have decisions, don't we? We have decisions in life, the things that we're going to do. We are just, you know, when we're younger, we're deciding, what does God have for me? Who does He have for me? Where am I going to go? Where am I going to settle? What does my life look like? When you get older, you say, okay, this is what my life looks like. How am I going to get through? How am I going to face this? How am I going to survive this? How am I going to help them? How am I going to fill my responsibilities? We have decisions. We have choices. As we get older in life, we are left then with, how am I going to leave this? How am I going to pass it down? How am I going to finish the course? How am I going to make an impact before I'm gone? And we have all of these things, but through every phase of life, we have decisions to make, and we can choose to follow Him or we can choose not to. Well, when God gives a command, He's making it very easy for us. Now, it's not easy, but He's saying, listen, I'm not letting you question or guess. Here's the answer. Follow me. When God gives us a command, there's no question. There's no guesswork. I don't have to figure it out. God tells me to follow Him. And in this verse, the command is what?
Rejoice.
He's going to say in just a moment, He's going to quantify that in a little bit. He's going to say, rejoice in the Lord always. And we're going to talk about that word in just a moment. What does always mean? Well, I guess we are starting it. What does the word always mean? Always. But there's a lot more than just always. Tell me, let's divide that up a little bit. That means all the time, right? We can talk about time. Does always have to do with time?
Yes.
It does. That means there's never a time when I shouldn't. But always is more than just time. It's also a circumstantial thing. It's certain events. It's not just time, it's events. In everything, right? Every single thing that I go through. Okay, let's get off of that idea and back to our first point here of rejoice. You know what God is telling us here? That there's not a time or a circumstance in life that we have the right to say, I'm not going to rejoice. Take a moment to think about that. I told you that this message is extremely simple. Here's how the devil gets me. This morning, you know, I got this message together this week, and God gave it to me, and I was excited about it. This morning, the devil always does this. This is the way you can pray for me. The devil, almost every Sunday, when I'm reviewing my message, the devil tells me this. That message is no good. It's too simple, and everyone's going to say, what was that? Now, I'm not thinking those exact things, but that's where the devil gets me. You know, I look at my message, and I'm thinking, what is that? You know, anybody could have wrote that thing. And it's like, is it going to make a difference or benefit in people's lives? Folks, I don't know if it will, but I know that it has potential to. When we think about our lives and we look at our lives, there's not any time where we have, again, I know it says the choice to rejoice. We don't have the right to not rejoice. I don't know how to make it any more simple than that. We never have a right to say, this crossed the line. You've heard people say, you know, this finally pushed my button. What are they saying when they say, you know, finally pushed my button? What are they saying? He crossed the line, right? They cross the line, and now there's justification. Folks, listen to it as simple as I can put it. There's never justification to not rejoice. And I'll tell you, that simple thought is very challenging to all of us. Because isn't it true that we feel in life that when certain things cross lines, that we all automatically have a right to not rejoice? Don't worry about it. You're not going to be like the only unspiritual one in the room. We're all there. Isn't it true, even though we wouldn't claim it in word, you'd probably never tell anybody here this, but isn't it true that when circumstances or things cross lines in our lives, we kind of reserve the right to not rejoice? Well, if maybe you're all different than me, but I do, okay? There are times in my life when certain things happen, and I don't even know that I think it, but I can almost sense it in my mind. Okay, now is a time when there's no reason to rejoice in this. This is just all out bad. And the fact of the matter is that tears down who God is. Do you understand how ungodly that thought is? I mean, that confronts his very character and person, doesn't it? Now, I just made the statement. Can somebody explain to me why I just said that? Somebody explain to me. How does that confront God's character? God is good, right? He is. And because he is, it's always. Because he is. Because is a word that is in the present, right? We've talked a lot about that word this year, haven't we? Is. You're probably thinking, you know, our pastor's kooky because he keeps talking about this word is. It's very important that we understand God is in the present. And you need to know that because that helps us with the very topic we're talking about. Because, see, sometimes we don't think that in the present we've crossed the line and it's not. Well, God always is. So there is never a time when it's not good, or, well, it might not be good, but we can rejoice in it. And it ultimately is good because God is doing it for a purpose. So you're here this morning, and you're struggling with different things, and there are things that get into your life, and it discourages you. Whether it's your day at work, and you come home, and you're discouraged, or whether it's your health, whether it's your finances, or your social, and people, your relationships, your responsibilities, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. God is telling us, you're commanded to follow me, and I want you to follow me in this, and that is, I want you to choose to rejoice. He's telling you, you need to rejoice. So, sir, when you come home from work and you're tired and you're struggling, you're discouraged because it's like, oh, and I know what's facing me. I've got more things. I've got to fix this and I've got to fix this. God is saying, you need to rejoice in this. You're going to have to make a choice to rejoice. And we don't like it, but we've got to make the choice. And we have a choice every day in our circumstances. Okay, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice in this. Ma'am? You wake up in the morning and you're sitting there and you're thinking about all those things and there's this that's a struggle, there's this that's a struggle, and there's this that's a struggle. And you're just kind of almost feeling yourself get anxious and you're like, how am I going to make it through this day? And God reminds you from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, you've got a choice, ma'am. You've got a choice. Even though it's not much of a choice, I'm commanding you, you need to follow me. I want you to rejoice. Right now, I want you to rejoice. And as we move on to the next point, I just want to encourage you to remember that this is a command. Yes, it's a choice, but it's a choice. We don't have the right to say, now the line is crossed, no rejoicing today. No, this is not right. We can rejoice. So God says, rejoice in the Lord. Always. And again. Why does he say, and again I say rejoice? Any ideas? He's stressed. He's making a point, isn't it? You know what he's saying? He's saying, he's shouting out to a sleepy crowd out there. He's saying, listen, everybody listen. You don't have any right. Listen, I'm going to say it two times. If I spoke to you that way, what are you getting from me? This is important, right? This is important. Don't miss it. This is no question. There's no options here. I'm telling you. That's what Paul is doing here. He said, I'm going to tell you again. Is everybody listening? I'm commanding you to rejoice. Now he goes on and he says, always. He said, always. And we've already talked about that a little bit. We're talking about time. You know, there's not a time. Now, let's take a time out here. Are there times when we are pressured from without to struggle? Are the pressures there? And by the way, in this time out, I want you to know, folks, we're not making light over your struggles. No one in this room is making light over the financial issues that you're going through. Just rejoice. No. If you're going through financial struggles today, oh man, most everybody knows what that's like. And God's not just saying, just smile and go through it. He's not just saying it that way. He's not making light, sir, ma'am, of your health conditions and you're going through. Nobody else knows, but you're feeling lousy every day and you don't know what's going on. God's not just saying, just, you know, sit up and get with life and forget it. Your trials are nothing. Rejoice. It's not what he's saying. He's not making light of your relationship issues that you're struggling with. God's not making light over this. Paul's not making light of it. And I can tell you I'm not making light over it. Those things are real things that we go through. But as we look at these things, he's telling us that there's no time. There are no circumstances in life in which we can ignore this. Go back to chapter 1 of Philippians. In Philippians chapter 1, he is addressing a known need that was there. Notice in verse 28, he's writing and he says, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. What does that tell us already right there that these people were facing? Opposition, right? They had some opposition. There were some people that were adversaries. They were against them. He says, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. And so we see in this circumstance, you know, there were circumstances that these people had gone through, and he's telling them, listen, you're going through difficult circumstances. There are things in your life that are going to come up. We have time. We have circumstances. We have things. Take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We've got the Sermon on the Mount. We've got the Beatitudes here. And he's going through many of these blesseds. And we know we can translate that word blessed as what? Happy, right? Okay, happy. But he goes through this, and blessed are ye, in verse 11, look at verse 11, he's said a bunch of them already, and then he's going to add some more. He said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you. Sound fun? Not really. This is a difficult situation. This is a social issue. So their people are opposed to them, they're persecuting them, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. You know, even right there, is this difficult situation with these people? Yes, okay? When people, have you ever had somebody accuse you, lie to you, rob you, go against you, fail you, turn on you? Yeah, we've had people like that, some more than others, but we've had that. So he's addressing a tough situation, and he's saying, blessed are the person that goes through all this. And what does he say in verse 12? Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. What? If we could combine the verses in Philippians chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 5, can I put it this way? God is simply saying this, you're going to go through difficult situations. There's this always. There's times that are going to come up. That are going to come up. But I'm telling you, they are for a purpose. There's a reason why they're going, and it's to help you. It's to help you. It's to strengthen you. It's to encourage you. In fact, you're a blessed individual. What? You're a blessed individual. To have the difficulties come on in your life, and you can rejoice. What does James tell us in chapter 1, verse 2? My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers or various temptations. I mean, that doesn't sound fun, but why did he tell them that they were supposed to rejoice, to be joyful or to rejoice? Knowing this, if you know it, quote it with me, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Did you hear that? He says, rejoice. You see, joy, we're back to your definitions. Joy or rejoicing comes back to who it's coming from and your knowledge of what God is trying to do. I trust in God. He is doing something amazing, and that's why you can always rejoice in your circumstances. Now notice in Matthew chapter 5 at the end, he says, for great is your reward. That brings us into the next point. So first of all, rejoice. It's a command always. There's no exceptions for not. Thirdly, it's in the Lord. And I love this. For great is your reward in Matthew kind of segues us into this next thing. And that is it's our perspective. It's our perspective. I use this word a lot. Perspective is everything. It's so important. You understand what perspective is? It's your vantage point. We all, every one of us, even though some of you are very close in your vantage point, we all, every one of us has a different perspective in this room. Of even the events of right now, you have a different perspective than I do, for sure. I'm the only one looking that way, and you're all looking this way, but at the same time, each one, whatever angle you are at, has a different perspective, and the things that you can see, I can't see what's behind, you know, there's a pew in front of you, and I can't see, I can only see the top half. I can't see that. You've got a perspective, and yet at the same time, you can't see what's behind here, and so there's a different perspective. The last point brings us into perspective. And the last phrase is, yes, rejoice, and rejoice always, but rejoice is supposed to be in what or who? Rejoice in the Lord. And that's the perspective. Here's the only way that you can go through your difficult circumstances rejoicing. This is the only way. You cannot make a choice on your own. You can make the choice, but you don't have the power to do it. Yes, it's a choice to rejoice, but it's a choice in the Lord. That's the only way that you can. It is absolutely impossible for you to go through those financial crises. It's impossible for you to go through the social relationships that you struggle. It's impossible for you to go through the emotional struggles of your life. It's impossible to go through the spiritual things that come into your life. It's impossible to do it without the Lord. And it's all about a perspective. It's a perspective in the Lord. It's an eternal perspective. Notice in Matthew again, he says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. It's the ability to look and to see what God is doing. Even though you can't, I cannot know what God is doing. I cannot know why. I don't know why God is delaying. I don't know why, you know, I'm so tired. I don't know why I'm feeling so bad. I don't understand why these things are happening. I don't get it. And I don't know if I ever will, but I do know something. Seems like there's a spot there that I ring. Okay? I know something. And it goes back to James 1. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. What is James telling us? That's very similar to what Paul is telling us here. He's saying, listen, the Lord has a plan and a path, and you need to choose in the Lord. In other words, if we could say this, all of our circumstances in life should be looked at wearing God's glasses, if I could put it that way. We need to look at our circumstances with God, and I've got to look through them. Listen, if we don't put on God's perspective, then we cannot rejoice. It doesn't make sense to rejoice because this is altogether bad. But when I take God, and it's not about a pair of glasses, but when I take God and I say, okay, I know that God knows everything, right? What's God's characteristic? What does it mean that God knows everything? He is omniscient. He knows everything. When I recognize that God's been through everything because He's always present, what is that word? He's omnipresent. And I know that God can overcome everything that comes into my life. That word is, he is omnipotent, right? And there are many other words that God has that we that describe him. That's why it's good to know who he is. That's why it's good to understand his attributes, his characteristics, his names, his references, his the way that God refers to himself in the scriptures. It, you need to know them so that you can pull them out. And that's like putting on glasses. I know that he knows. I know that he's all powerful. I know that he can take care of everything. I know that he loves me. I know that he's with me. I know it's like the glasses of God. It's knowing his character. When I learn to know who he is and what he does and how he does it, when I can look, it's like putting on his glasses. And this is the part of the verses: rejoice. Look up here. Rejoice in the Lord. And that's how I do it. Can I tell you again? That is the only way to be able to do it. If you get your circumstances, you look at it and you say, how is this good? And you start to analyze how this is good without putting on these glasses, you won't come up with how this is good because you don't know everything. You don't understand everything. You don't know what God is doing. But when you, and by the way, these glasses don't show you everything. They just simply, it's a trust, it's a faith and trust in who God is to be able to say, you know what, I do not know, but I know this. I know that God loves me. I know that God cares for me. I know that He knows everything, and I know that he is all powerful, and I know that he is, and you go through who God is, and when you say, I know who God is, and I trust that, it's like putting on these glasses, and then you look at your circumstance, and you're able to say what? Okay, I don't know how this is going to happen, and I don't know why I'm going through this, but he's loving me in this. He's with me in this. He's powerful enough to take care of this. And you go through those things, and it's just like putting on these glasses. And what's the result when we put on God, when we put on the Lord? What does it help us do? Rejoice. It helps us to rejoice. Because the result of that is like, wait a second, this is a better perspective here. I like, you know what, folks? Wouldn't it be helpful if we could go up, right in the middle of our circumstances, we could go right up to heaven if I could put him in a place. Go right up to heaven and have God sit right with us, right next to us, and have him hash this whole thing out and say, God, don't leave my side. Go through this with me and help me through this and tell me what to do and lead me through all of my circumstances right now. Wouldn't you all feel better if God would physically, if he would be right next to you and go through everything that you're going through? Wouldn't that really help you? But folks, he is. It's a perspective. You just got to recognize that he's there. But in the Lord, you can rejoice. You say, Pastor, how can I rejoice when I get diagnosed with this? How can I rejoice when this isn't happening? How can I rejoice when these bad things are happening? I will tell you the only answer is to get yourself in the Lord. And when you recognize the Lord, in everything that happens, and it rains, it pours, another thing. I'm going to put on my glasses. God, I know that, by the way, it's a very good thing that you have a list of things that you can go back to when you get in those circumstances. And I do this. When I go through certain things, I preach a message about a year ago on something like this. I couldn't remember even to give you all the points. But what I do is I say, you know what? I know that you love me. Does that help? Folks, does it help to know that God loves you? It does, because sometimes in our circumstances we can think, God doesn't love me, right? No, God loves me. That goes a long way. God loves me. God is with me. He's with me. I'm not going through this alone. He is with me. Sometimes that very thought alone helps me go through a difficult circumstance. Like, wait a second, I'm not on my own. God is with me as I go through this. He's with me. He knows everything about this. He's been there already. He's already gone through this fire. And he's out the other side. And he's going to go through it with me again. He's there and he cares for everything. This is not some little thing that says, Sean, you know, just, you know, get a grip and go through it. That's nothing. That's not God. But when we put on God, when we put on these glasses, It helps us to recognize, wait a second, God loves me, God cares for me, He's with me, He knows everything, and He's powerful enough to get me out, and He's promised to never leave me or forsake me, He's promised me victorious, He's given me salvation, He's given, I tell you what, you can't go wrong with remembering all the things that God is. That's being in the Lord. Rejoice. You can only do it in the Lord. Putting on His glasses. As you put on God, as you are in the Lord, then amazing thing comes. You can then say, you know what? I don't understand this. I don't know how. I don't know why. I don't have answers. And I'm feeling this way and I'm struggling with this. But I know Him. And in Him. No, probably what's not going to come on your face is from this to... And you're probably not going to jump up 10 feet. But as some of you described in the very beginning, it's not always this, but it's an inner peace. And trust that in your circumstances, there is someone that has got it all under control, that not only has it under control, but that is actually doing it for my good. He's doing it for my good. He's actually bringing me closer to Him. He's helping. Maybe He's answering my prayer that I prayed a month ago or a year ago, saying, God, would you help me to, would you draw me closer to you? You realize sometimes when we pray things, God says, I will. Are you sure you want that? Oh, yes, God, I want that. Okay, then I'm going to give you some things that might be a little bit tough, but in the end, you will. Do you want it? We don't go through that whole dialogue there, but that's really what, you know, we ask God to bring us closer, and He does through trials. Here Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, let me say it again as we close. And again I say, rejoice. 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 Father, would you help us? This is simple. I probably didn't say anything that these people didn't know. God, would you help us to understand your perspective? Help us to recognize that our perspective is many times wrong. Help us to see the differences. And help us to change our perspective to you. Lord, in our change of perspective, you'd help us to choose to rejoice. Really, it's a choosing to focus on you. The outcome is that we rejoice. God, would you help us with that? Lord, there's no doubt there are things that people are going through in this room, and I don't even, you know, I know you had me preach this message because there's people that are going through things. And so, Lord, you know the details of each person and what they're going through. God, would you help them to be able to go through what they're going through in you? Would you help them to get victory? And any time, Lord, that we're not going with you, that you would remind us and help us to put on you. God, help us to choose to rejoice in the Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen.